turn together in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll also be looking in the back of our songbooks at Belgic Confession Article 3 in just a minute. But first, let's read from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16. In 2 Peter 1, that's found on page 1207. The title of our sermon is The Written Word of God. Last time we looked at how God can be known. He has revealed himself in creation, which leaves all men without an excuse, but he also reveals himself more perfectly and fully in his word. So today we're going to be focusing on the written word of God. So let's read from 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from the heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And here's our focus. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be our focus of our sermon in just a few moments. But let's read also in the back of our songbooks. This is Belgic Confession Article 3. If you wanted to follow along, it's page 855. 855 in the back of our Red Trinity songbooks. Article 3, The Written Word of God. We confess that this word of God was not sent nor delivered by the will of men, but that holy men of God spoke, being moved by the Holy Spirit, as Peter says. Afterwards, our God, because of the special care he has for us and our salvation, commanded his servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit this revealed word to writing. He himself wrote with his own finger the two tables of the law. Therefore, we call such writings holy and divine scriptures. And as far as reading in Belgic Confession Article 3, we pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what power does your favorite book have on you? If you were to think of the favorite book that you have ever written, if you were bored on some summer evening, your book you'll take to hand, the book that you read would said probably to be an inspirational book, a book that empowers you, encourages you. For example, if you enjoy reading the Chronicles of Narnia, you could say that the words of C.S. Lewis were inspirational. They fill you with a joy, with a motivation, with a delight. You feel good. You have a proper frame of mind as you read your favorite inspirational book. But today, we are going to be considering the Bible. And we speak of the Bible being inspired by God. And in order to avoid confusion, when we are speaking about the inspiration of Scripture, we are not saying that the Bible is inspirational. That is true. Reading the Bible can be inspirational. But when we speak of the inspiration of Scripture, we are not talking so much how it changes the people who read it, but rather the author who brings it. The inspiration of Scripture says more about its author and less about how we respond to it. The Bible is inspired by God, regardless of how the reader responds or feels after reading it. Even more clearly, instead of speaking about the inspiration of Scripture, we can say that the Bible is God-breathed, breathed out from God. But which parts of the Bible are God-breathed? Which parts of the Scripture are from God? Did God write the Ten Commandments? Surely he did. He inscribed them on tablets of stone with his own finger. But what happened to those tablets of stone, children? Do you remember what happened to them? Moses threw them down and broke them at the rebellion of the people in the building of the golden calf. So Moses had to rewrite the tablets of the law. And perhaps some of you at home have a red letter Bible. Red letter Bibles have the very words of Jesus Christ in red letters. Now, are we to think that Jesus actually spoke the words that are in the red letter Bible? Absolutely. But does that mean that the words that are red lettered are more important or more inspired by God than the normal black letters? Are the red letters more significant or pressing than the other words that are recorded? Well, today, as we return to the Belgic Confession, we are going to be considering the written word of God. We start by asking ourselves this question: what is the Bible and where did it come from? How is it that we have this one book in our hands, made of 66 smaller books, bound together? What is the unifying fact that holds these books, that binds these books together? We consider this theme: Jesus Christ delivers God's holy and inspired word to his church. Jesus Christ delivers this word, which is the inspired, God-breathed word. We start in our first point by considering that the Bible has a divine author. How is it that this book that we have here in our hands and every word that is contained within it is said to be holy and divine scripture? We start with the negative. If you still have your Bibles open, as we read in 2 Peter 1:21, the Bible is not written by the will of man. That's 2 Peter 1:21. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. So the Bible, as recorded prophecy, Peter is here saying, does not have man as the fountain and source. The Bible is not a collection of human wisdom. The Bible is not a book of wise men's sayings. The Bible is not like Aesop's fables or proverbs from around the world. Unfortunately, there are many people that view the Bible just this way, or use the Bible as if it were a collection of wise sayings. That the Bible is an answer book that you go to and brings you helpful ideas to make your life better. The Bible is seen as a collection of facts derived over the ages, unrelated pieces of information. The Bible is viewed as one source among many sources. The Bible is kind of like the Google search bar. I have a question and I want an answer, so I go to the Bible and it gives me a list of options that I can pick and choose as I see fit. One option among many. There are many people who even view the words of Jesus Christ as a collection of wisdom literature, that the Bible is a bunch of wise sayings, that Jesus was perhaps the wisest person to ever be, and the Bible is simply recording these wise words of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was nothing more than a really good teacher and a wise counselor. Yes, these people will say, the world would be a much better place if everyone simply did what Jesus said. If everyone just lived by the way that he taught, we would all get along. But is that all the Bible is? Is a collection of wise people's sayings? Other people view the Bible as a tool for control. The Bible is seen as a grand form of propaganda, a way for those who are in authority to control the masses. That's what the communists would say. But as our text makes very clear, the Bible does not come from man, nor is it the product of man's will. The Bible does not come from people. Man does not control what the Bible is, nor what the Bible says. Man does not have control over the Bible. We are not free to stand over the Bible and to judge whether or not we think what the Bible says is right or true. We are not over Scripture, but rather we are to be under it. as 2 Peter 1, verse 21 continues. The men who wrote the Bible spoke from God. The Bible has God as its source. The Bible comes from not the will of man, but the will of God. It is the revelation of God and is rightly called God's Word. So the Bible is not man's word, according to man's will and desire, but it is God's word coming from the will and purpose of God. And since it comes from God, the Bible therefore has divine authority, and it is a divine gift. His word is to be received and submitted to. You see, people today, they view the Bible as something that we are over, something that we judge, that we can be critical of. But as God's people, we are to submit ourselves to God's word and to receive it from God. We cannot take it or leave it. We cannot say these parts are good and I'm going to pass over or ignore these parts. Indeed, as 2 Timothy 3:16, as all of our children remember, all scripture is God-breathed. Not some scripture, not most of scripture, not part of scripture. All scripture is God-breathed. Breathed out from God, God-spirited, inspired by God. It has the authority of God coming from Him. That is why we confess that the Bible is both inerrant and infallible. Being inerrant and infallible means that the Bible is perfect and true in both its purpose and its content. It's both its direction and in the very letters of the words that are recorded. We read this, if you still have your Bibles open, in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, that the Bible is more sure, and we ought to pay careful attention to it. It is certain, it is beyond a doubt. There are no errors recorded in Scripture. And the Bible will not lead you into error or lead you astray. This is only possible because the Bible is from God. Added to this, we acknowledge that the Bible comes from God and has the inspiration or the authority of God. We also confess that the Bible is the product of the Holy Spirit's working. We confess the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. If you still have your Bibles open, look at verse 21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God. So who did they speak from? They spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So those who wrote the pages of Scripture were speaking from God. They were heralds from God. They were sent as messengers from God. And they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit carried them. The Spirit brought them from point A to point B. The Spirit enabled them to know, to think, to write the words that God wanted them to write and to have recorded. The imagery given to us here in 2 Peter 1 is that men were like ships on the sea, carried along by the wind of the Holy Spirit, brought from the open ocean into the port of God's design. The Spirit was driving these men, carrying these men to the destination that He, the Spirit, saw fit, blown to speak the way that the Spirit desired. So here we can pause for a brief application. Since this is true, since all Scripture is God-breathed, since this word is the prophetic word is the more certain word, since those who recorded the Scripture spoke from God, being carried along by the Holy Spirit, how ought we to receive this word? How ought we to embrace it? In fact, Peter warns, this is back in 1 verse 20, Peter warns that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. We are not free to come up with our own interpretation of the Bible because the Bible means what God says it means. The Bible says what God says it is to say. We are not standing over the Scripture as judges, but rather we are underneath it and submit ourselves to it. Again, back in verse 16. Peter makes it clear. The Bible is not a list of myths and fables. It's not stories that are told to keep our children in line. It is the word of power. It must be believed, and it is to be received as truth from God, applying to everything that Scripture says. Now, come on, Pastor. Do you mean to tell me that I am supposed to believe that Jonah lived 3 days in the belly of a giant fish? That seems ridiculous. Do you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to believe that Jesus was dead for 3 days and came back alive? Am I supposed to believe that Jesus was able to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to walk on the water? Do you expect me to believe that Jesus' one sacrifice on the cross was sufficient, was powerful enough to cleanse me from all my sins? Do you expect me to believe that if I repent and believe, I will be saved? That seems incredible. Well, does God's word say it? If this is what the Bible says, then it is true. Not because I say so, but because the word is from God. And it is to be received as such. It has the authority, the power of God. And, brothers and sisters, it is for your good to believe it. Look again at verse 19. 2 Peter 1:19. It is a sure word that you do well to pay attention to. It is for your good to pay attention to God's word. You are much better off receiving God's word, submitting to God's word, believing God's word as God's word, than ignoring it or questioning it or doubting it. Ignore the Bible to your own peril. The Bible is a sure word, a dependable, reliable word. It is to be believed, it is to be received, and it is for your good. Belgic Confession Article 3 puts it like this. Because of God's special care for us and for our salvation. It's Belgic Confession Article 3. Why did God preserve this word? Why did God, in Scripture, putting these words in the Bible? Because he has a special care for us and for our salvation. The content of the gospel is here recorded, and the content is good news. It is for your benefit. It is for your blessing. You are the recipients of this great gift. Even as 2 Timothy 3 continues, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable, useful, beneficial. These words benefit you. They do you well. More than just letting you live a better life today, they reveal the way to salvation and eternal life from God, telling you how you can be saved. It is the power of God. This is Romans 1. The power of God unto salvation. These words are to be the standard for true doctrine and the power of eternal life. Every word, every letter is from God and is to be received as such. Believe them to your blessing, reject them to your peril. So it is. What binds, what gathers, what holds this book together is that it is from God, has been authorized, breathed out, from our sovereign Lord. And yet, this one book has 66 books included in it. And these books have various human writers as well. The Bible was not delivered as a complete book from God, a special delivery carried from angels to be discovered in some secret hidden in an inner sanctuary, having been written by God only to be found at a later date, completed from Genesis to Revelation. Although it is true that the Bible is clearly the product of God's will, it is also the product of man's hand, recorded over many years and with various authors. As Article 3 puts it, God commanded his servants, prophets and apostles, to commit his word to writing. So although it is God's word, it is his word, he commanded his word to be written through the writings of various men, the apostles and prophets. So we also confess what is called progressive revelation. Progressive revelation means that God began to reveal himself in his word, speaking directly to the patriarchs, passing on knowledge of his work and word verbally for generations. And then starting with Moses, God committed this revelation to recorded word to be preserved for further generations. So Moses recorded the first five books of the Bible, and on through the ages, God used various prophets and apostles to record the words on and on down until we have John recording the words of Revelation. So we could put it this way. The Bible is a divine book with handwritten pages, or it's a book given by God, handed to us from the hands of men. Perhaps your children memorized this when they were younger. Children, who wrote the Bible? Children, remember the answer? Chosen men inspired by the Holy Spirit. So who wrote the Bible? Chosen men inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now the manner in which, or the way in which the Bible was recorded over the pages is quite significant. There were times when God dictated, God spoke, and man wrote exactly, prophets wrote exactly what God told them to write. God literally inscribed the first tablets of the law with his own finger. But when it comes to the writing of the various books throughout the ages, God did not override or supersede the interests or abilities of these various authors. The prophets and apostles were not like robots. They were not simply recording devices that wrote down everything that God specifically told them. That is called mechanical inspiration. That's not what we believe in. Rather, God used each person's interest and ability to record the words that the Lord, wanted them to record. This is called organic inspiration. We can see this when we look at the writings of Peter and Paul, or we look at the various Gospels, that they are all unique. And yet, every word remains fully coming from God with his authority. The same event may be recorded, the words used to describe this event having different focus and emphasis. But this in no way undermines the authority or power of Scripture, but rather shows the diversity and beauty of our God in using different men to record his sacred word. We find the same thing in our own lives as well. This is evident in how God continues to work in and with people today. God does not use us as mindless robots. He uses us in our lives, and he gives us different gifts, abilities, and interests. We are not inanimate rocks who have no life. We're not cogs in a machine simply filling out our place as a gear. God is pleased to preserve our personal responsibility using our individual gifts while he continues to reign and rule over all, bringing all things according to his designed end, working all things for his glory and for our good. So then nothing happens by chance. All things happen according to his design. This applies to the recordings of Scripture as well. So earlier we read from Luke 1, verse 1. In Luke 1, verse 1, Luke says this, "I have a desire to record certain events to compile a narrative of all the things that have been accomplished." Was Luke one of the first disciples? Luke may have interviewed people taking notes. He investigated these events and spoke to people who saw them firsthand. But it is also true that the Holy Spirit was working through Luke so that the words recorded in the Gospel of Luke were the very words that God wanted recorded, with a unique emphasis on Luke's interest and ability as a physician. Not one word was left out that God wanted recorded, all Scripture remaining God-breathed. So the human writers of the Bible, even though we have many different authors, the human writers of the Bible in no way undermine its authority. So Mark learned from the Apostle Peter, and Luke learned from Paul recording these sacred words. But why did Luke write the Gospel of Luke? Luke 1 verse 4, I write these things so that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. Why is the Gospel of Luke recorded? So that you, as God's people, may have certainty, confidence, and strength in your faith. Indeed, having a multitude of witnesses serves to strengthen the case. The diversity and variety of the various accounts, the different writings and collection of authors adds only to the beauty and strength of God's word. So we have poems by David and Solomon, narratives by Moses and Matthew, letters from Peter and Paul, all these different men with various settings and times, and yet one God who speaks his word with a special care for us and for our salvation. The word of God is the revelation of God in written word. To conclude, although the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God, the fact remains that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful, coming from God. The men who recorded the pages of Scripture were not speaking by their own imagination. According to their own will, they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. This word, the Scriptures, remain profitable, remain useful for training, correcting, instructing, teaching, and rebuking. This holy book is a divine word. As our theme states, Jesus Christ delivers God's holy and inspired word to his church. Our gracious God does not leave us groping around in the dark, but his word shines upon our path, making it clear which way we are to go and which things we are to believe, so that we can know him, and in knowing him, might have eternal life. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty of your word, and we thank you that you have seen fit to use various men at various times to bring your revealed word to light. We pray, O Lord, that you would enable us to receive the word as it is, not the product of man's imagination or desire or will, but rather as it is, the very word of God, which is powerful, authoritative, and profitable. So may we receive your word as it is. May we submit to it. May we acknowledge it as a good and gracious gift. And may we rejoice as we submit to it as your word to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.